Hi, guys. Jason Agnew here, and we're about to get into Sunday night's main event. Hour one, that is. If you'd like to hear the full show, it's available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. But here's your first hour. It's like a little appetizer.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
As we continue down the hypocritical road to evolution, Big Dave returns and proves Drax always gets the best lines. And the internet claims Rhonda slut shames, but I disagree. What say ye? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. Jason Agnew here with you for your Sunday night into Monday morning ritual of digesting the indigestible in the world of the squared circle. And considering it was SmackDown 1000 this past week, appropriately enough, joining me in the triple threat tonight is a SmackDown original referee. Jimmy Corderas will share his thoughts on the events on Tuesday night and be joined by a man that watches all the wrestling, 411 Mania's Larry Zonka. Dan Lavransky will be by in our second hour to look ahead to WWE's Evolution pay-per-view and try to even the score in another edition of our six-pack challenge. Plus, Dave Meltzer will give us the scoop on all these Jericho, JR, Jaguars, rumors, and Turnbuckle Trivia is on tap as well. And I am live right now on TSN Radio, despite having spent all day today and the past 4 days hosting 14 episodes of a children's television talent show. So keep my pending insanity company by calling 1-866-729-2562. That's 1-866-729-2562. All that was on this week is on tap for us to chat about tonight at SNME Radio on Twitter. Of course, the Sunday night survey is already up there. But first things first, let's get you up to date on the week that was in pro wrestling.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, expect a solid dose of nostalgia at next Sunday's Evolution pay-per-view, along with Trish and Lita in that tag match with a tremendous build. And the announcement of Tori Wilson in the Battle Royal. WWE also announced this week that Alundra Blaze, Ivory, Molly Holly, Michelle McCool, Maria Kanellis, and Dan the Mouth of Vransky's favorite, Kelly Kelly, we'll all be returning for the Battle Royal. Right after Evolution, you'll also be able to check out the WWE Network's pilot of House Party Halloween, which is described as bear witness as Woken Matt, Brother Nero, and the rest of the House Party prepare for a night of mayhem after their unprecedented Halloween ball. So here's how next Sunday's schedule can break down for you. The Evolution pre-show will begin at 6 p.m. Eastern. The main card's supposed to run from 7 to 10:30. They're going to end early. That leaves room for the Hardy special at 10:30, which allows you to flip right over to Sunday night's main event with myself and Dan the Mouth of Vransky, live at 11 p.m. The boss man here said, get out of here, NFL. And we are on at 11 p.m. next week, for sure, on the dot, starting up reviewing Evolution. And I'm sure we will have a lot to say. Now, in additional WWE Network news, right after Raw tomorrow night, you can catch something called Road to Evolution, which is supposed to celebrate all the women involved in the WWE Evolution pay-per-view. We can only hope that the promos for Crown Jewel play during the special just to really layer on that hypocrisy. Now that the match with her injury has aired on the Mae Young Classic, Tegan Nox, formerly known as Nixon Newell, posted a detailed update about her knee injury and the whole situation after she suffered it. In short, the injuries were a dislocated kneecap that reset itself instantly, torn MCL and LCL, torn ACL, and both meniscus, one of which apparently had a lightning bolt-shaped tear in it, bone contusions, and a fracture in the left tibia. Now, Knox went on to say, it's a long road to recover, but she's already 2 months in, and she's planning on making her return special. If I were a betting man, which actually I am, I'd say that if the WWE is planning a 2019 Mae Young Classic, Tegan Knox will be coming out of that one on top. Barring injury, of course, which is what kind of took her down the past 2 years, actually. In other injury news, knee injury news for that matter, Kevin Owens can now be referred to as having injuries, plural, surgeries, plural. You see, earlier this week, Owens posted up on his Twitter that, quote, they had a two-for-one sale going on at the surgery store. Yeah, he had both his knees operated on, so look for him to be out till late February at the earliest and April at the latest. WrestleMania is in jeopardy for Owens at this point. WWE announced some new signings this week, a few of which we were already aware of. Chelsea Green, that's the former Lauren Van Ness from Impact Wrestling, who was also part of Tough Enough a couple years ago. She is now with the company. Matt Riddle, who's already made his NXT debut. Mia Yim, no surprise, stemming from her performance in the Mae Young Classic. Punishment Martinez, who was announced under his real name, Luis Martinez. Humberto Carrillo, also known as Ultimo Ninja. Daniel Vadeau, a former rugby player from Australia. And Jordan Omogbien, a 7'3", 370-pound former college basketball player from Nigeria who played college ball in the U.S. They are all inked the WWE deals at this point. Hey, for those of you in Cincinnati, Rey Mysterio will now be challenging Shinsuke Nakamura for the United States Championship. It is on that Starrcade show that's happening November 24th. He's replacing Rusev, who was originally advertised as Nakamura's opponent. Getting outside, WWE ROH confirmed that Los Ingobernables de Japón members Evil and Sonata, plus Naito and Juice Robinson will all be in action on their Global Wars shows. Impact Wrestling announced that they'll be returning to Windsor, Ontario, Canada for television tapings at St. Clair College on March 22nd and March 23rd. And if you haven't seen Lucha Underground Seasons 1 and 2 as of yet, it's time to get your binge on. They're scheduled to be removed from Netflix on November the 15th. Now, on a sad note this week, 80s wrestler Dick Slater passed away due to heart complications. He was best known by the nickname Dirty Dick Slater and began his career in 1972 in Florida. He has solid runs in Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mid-Atlantic, and Mid-South, and was then brought into the WWF in the early 80s as a babyface character known as the Rebel Dick Slater, which failed terribly. And he ended up as little more than enhancement talent. He ended up in WCW from 1989 to 1996 until a back injury ended his career. Now, his post-wrestling life was quite tumultuous and included an incident in June of 2004 when he was convicted of attacking his former girlfriend with a butcher's knife and sentenced to a year of house arrest and 2 years of probation. Dick Slater was 67 years old. Flipping over to the world of MMA now, sorta. It's a hybrid story. You see, UFC heavyweight and light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier dropped some fun knowledge on us this week. A bit of news here. He said that he had to postpone a WWE commentary tryout at the Performance Center due to taking the fight with Derek Lewis. Cormier said that he had been talking to WWE because, quote, they wanted me to go in and do an audition as a member of the commentary team. That was my private little thing, but because of the fight, I had to push it back. So there might be some DC in the WWE stuff coming, end quote. He also joked that he would not, quote, do the job to Lesnar if they ended up fighting. In other circus-like UFC news, the curse of UFC 230 at MSG continues as Luke Rockhold is now off the show. Rockhold was supposed to be in a notable match with Chris Weidman. However, according to Ariel Helwani, Rockhold's left shin is infected. He sprained his right knee, and he broke his nose recently while grappling, so he is out of here. That means the card has been shuffled once again, and Chris Weidman will now face Jacare Souza, who is already on the card. The always entertaining Derek Lewis admitted that Stipe Miocic probably deserves a title shot against Daniel Cormier more than he does, but since he didn't know when he was going to get another opportunity, he jumped on it when it was offered, which I guess makes sense. In an interview with Ariel Helwani, Georges St. Pierre said he is uncertain about his future in MMA, claiming he does not have the motivation to climb the ladder again. But he did express some interest in fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov at 155 pounds. In a related story, Dana White said GSP would have to fight a top five contender at 155 if he wanted Khabib. I guess Dana's a little sore that Georges won the middleweight title and then had to drop it due to health conditions. But let's be honest, GSP equals pay-per-view buys, so I'm sure he can pretty much fight anyone he wants. Pretty much whenever he wants. Speaking of Khabib, Dana also said not to pay attention to any of the Khabib Floyd Mayweather rumors, as Khabib is under UFC contract and things are okay now. And there you have it. Consider yourself informed when we come back. A couple of absolutely great segments from this week's WWE TV, and I will talk about them. Plus, you can too. 1-866-729-2562. That is the number to call. We're back on the other side to talk WWE TV. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Knock down doors.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Knock down doors.
My entire career, I've been knocking down doors. I've knocked down doors in judo. I knocked down doors in Strikeforce. I knocked down doors in the UFC. And now I'm knocking down doors here at home in the WWE. The only door you ever knocked down was the door to John Cena's bedroom. And he eventually threw you out of that exact same door.
Do you want me to break down this door?
Break down!
Do you want me to break down this door? Break down the door.
Well, there you have it. A great segment, in my opinion, a great segment on Monday night from Ronda Rousey. Now, you know, people had criticized Ronda's ability to talk, and I think that this particular promo really proved people wrong. There were a few bad lines in here, the eradicate you like smallpox and making Bella a four-letter word, etc. Like, we know the two lines that have been criticized by wrestling fans. But it's other fans that have criticized more than just that, the whole slut-shaming thing that has been talked about. In general, though, I feel that this segment and this promo is exactly what this feud needed. The sales for Evolution tickets were not great. I mean, I think that they were poorly promoted by WWE using Trish and Alexa as their key match to market it. That was a mistake, in my opinion, with no motivation behind that match. But this promo on Monday night created interest in that main event. I mean, if there is anyone out there that listens to this show, and thus I would consider them understanding, I mean, anyone listening to this show understands wrestling beyond what is just on television and how to get interest in a pay-per-view and in a main event. If there's anyone that looked at this, that listened to this show and didn't like it, or at least didn't see the purpose in it, then I want you to call in and tell me about it. Because this was the right promo to cut here. The Bellas are reality stars. They put their lives on television. Even if you don't watch Total Bellas, these facts that were brought up are common things that any wrestling fan who looks a slight bit behind the curtain is very well aware of, even to the majority. And that's why, listen to that crowd. Listen to that crowd after she busted out that line. It was excellent. If anyone was upset at this promo, they don't understand wrestling. I mean, you know that this wasn't a shock to the Bellas on the stage. These were scripted lines. And here's something that you may not have heard. These were scripted lines that Ronda Rousey wrote herself. Yeah. Even the eradicate smallpox. That was Rousey who wrote that. This is a promo that Ronda Rousey wrote herself, which I think says volumes about Ronda Rousey and how well she understands her character, understands the dynamic between her character and the Bellas characters, and also can appreciate what fans want. This was tremendously well done. Now, what is it going to be in the ring? I don't know. Let's hope it's short. But at least it's something. After Monday night, I am 10 times more interested in what is going to happen on this pay-per-view next week than I was 1 week ago. So if you want to get your calls in on this, 1-866-729-2562. And our first caller, well, Hanzi, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's going on, Agnew?
Well, you wanted to talk about this, right? That's why I'm putting you on first.
Yeah, no. Listen, I agree with you, but I want to actually add on that even with this promo, right?
Yeah.
What did people expect was going to be said? Because the Bellas represent the old guard of how to present women and all that. And Ronda Rousey is the evolution of, like, the actual athlete who, you know, busts her ass and works hard. Even if the Bellas wanted to counter it, they can counter it. Like, I don't understand how people, this is a perfect opportunity for them to actually, you know, disarm that slut-shaming thing that everyone's accusing them of, right? But I interpret the Bella characters as women, like, I don't know how they are in real life. I mean, but as their characters, I interpret their characters as women that have held the women division back by deciding to date men and get in prominent positions. And their role is supposed to be that narrative, and it's not slut shaming. Like, if Ronda did it randomly to, like, someone else, like to, like, Natalia or something like that, then I can understand, like, why you're bringing that up. But this has been part of the Bella's characters for, like, the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay, it has been. Now, they were in the business and in WWE before, you know, they started dating Daniel Bryan and John Cena. But yeah, I mean, it's been a part of their characters that they have gone into detail and in depth on and, you know, pulled the curtain back to see the other scripting that goes on E! Network. So, you know, they put themselves out there, and now WWE is basically utilizing their other properties to bring them together and sync them up with what's happening. Because you get guaranteed that this is being filmed for another season of Total Bellas or Total Divas or whatever Total E! Network show is happening right now. So it really benefits them twofold here.
Before I go, let me ask you, do you think this is the right call making this the main event? Because to me, I personally think Becky and Charlotte should be, like, the main event. And I don't know if you saw the attack that happened earlier today at the Performance Center. I just think they're doing amazing things with that feud. And I think that, in my opinion, deserves to be the main event of the pay-per-view.
I think that, you know, it's like the work rate main event, the match of the night is going to be Charlotte and is going to be Becky. But when it comes right down to it, the draw, the mainstream draw of this, because you can latch on to, and I don't know what novelty is left in Ronda Rousey, because WWE has continually put her on television. In my opinion, I think that Ronda Rousey should have been booked like Brock Lesnar. She should have been a part-time performer, and I say that because being a part-time performer like Lesnar makes her appearances more special. And we've now seen repeatedly over and over again, every time she wrestles on television, she gets less special. But because of the heat in this feud and because of that promo, this seems like a significant feud. And you're absolutely right. Hanzi's absolutely right. You have the athlete versus the mean girl. They're two stereotypes. And wrestling is, look at the history. Look at what it's based on. It's based on good versus evil. It's a comic book come to life. This is an easy storyline. This is an easy story to tell. And they're telling it. And I think that because of that, this does have to be your main event. Now, yes, indeed, Becky, Charlotte, that's your match of the night. I don't even know if anything else in this card is going to matter because the push for the rest of it has been very, very lackluster. But no, Ronda's got to be in the main because once again, that also is a part of keeping Ronda special. We're going to take a break. There was lots to talk about this week, and we will get to it. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Time world champion. This man has single-handedly changed this business. He runs this business. This man is this business. 14-time world champion. There is nothing that this man hasn't done in this business except beat me.
Has got some mad promo skills. Batista was so unlucky when he returned to the WWE last time, and I think it was after the first Guardians movie, right? He's too deep now, plus he's done a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, Blade Runner, if you got like, what, 10 minutes of him in Blade Runner. Don't go to see Blade Runner to see Batista. I did. Not worth it. And also the James Bond villain. He's got a bunch of stuff coming up as well. But, you know, the fame is there, and Vince loves the fame. He just got wrapped up in the Daniel Bryan thing last time, and fans wanted nothing but Daniel Bryan. But this time, clear after that response, and after that very fun promo, which looked like, to a degree, just four guys reminiscing about old times, and Dave being given the spotlight there. Fans want Batista, and pretty sure they're going to get Batista, which is fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go to the phones here. Jake is on the line, and he wanted to talk about SmackDown 1000 and Batista. Hey, Jake.
Dude, that seed from Batista was planted so firmly and perfectly. But looking forward, we're going to see what happened next. I'm guessing at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was just talking to Meltzer about. And Batista has said he's wanted to do that for quite a while. So, you know, when you get to a certain level of fame, you get to call your own shots.
I mean, what a milestone. I mean, SmackDown was the first wrestling show I ever watched since 2002 when I was 6 years old. So I wanted to ask you, off the top of your head, what were some of your favorite or least favorite SmackDown moments?
Oh, man. You see, everything kind of blurs together. What I remember about the origins of SmackDown is the fact that it was so huge because it was like WWE doubling the amount of time that they were putting on television. Because remember, back then, Raw was 2 hours, and all of a sudden, ooh, they're expanding to SmackDown as well. And then you had Thunder come along as well. So there just became so much wrestling at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, it was great until you saw the decline of WCW, and then that just got painful to watch. But generally, it was very exciting. I remember still setting my VCR for it at that time. As far as SmackDown goes, I remember Eddie Guerrero being a huge part of SmackDown. And actually,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I thought on Tuesday, although it was an okay show, and it was fine that it was just 2 hours, I found it slightly lackluster in regards to the memories because for the most part, we just got still photos of memories. We didn't get any really cool video packages. I mean, we got to see Edge. Edge cut a cool promo. I thought that he was great. And then he forwarded along the Charlotte and Becky storyline. I thought it was a waste bringing in Teddy Long and Vicky Guerrero. I don't know if it was a problem with my feet or our feet up here in Canada, but that segment actually cut in and out of them with Paige, so I didn't know why they brought them back. And then the end of SmackDown with The Undertaker was horrendous.
It was horrendous.
Why?
I agree with you. It was just like one sentence. Like you're just going to go up there and walk in the ring and then say that and just walk out. Like,
well, not only that, Jake, but it was a sentence that we saw him say on Monday.
Yeah. Absolutely, like from that backstage reunion with Kane. So, yeah, it was kind of awkward. So, and by the way, just before I go, Regarding Crown Jewel, yep. I do understand that Canada and Saudi Arabia have some tensions right now.
Does don't get along.
Affect any of the Canadian talent going there, like maybe Jinder Mahal or some of that? Or
no, I don't. And if you look at the roster that is supposed to be going, it's going to be a roster that's a lot smaller than last. I mean obviously, okay. Last time you had the greatest Royal Rumble happening, and there was a whole bunch more guys that had to go. But on top of that, if you look at all of the winners of the World Cup to determine the best in the world, do I have to say that? They're all Americans. It's fascinating, though, that Jeff Hardy is making the trip, but any Canadians are not. Jeff Hardy, allowed to travel internationally. How about that, friends? Let's take a break. Come on back. We'll look at both Raw and SmackDown, and we will do that with the Triple Threat segment next. Jimmy Corderas and Larry Zonka will join me. Trivia still to come. Lavransky still to come as well, where we'll look forward to Evolution, and he'll try to get revenge with the six-pack challenge. He'll try, and we'll give you the results next week. But still lots more to come. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good superkick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gotta be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's main event, and two of my favorite Triple Threaters on the show this week. Of course, first up, one of my favorite writers for Wrestling Reports. I say it every time I have him on, from 411 Mania, Larry Zonka. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
Excellent. And, you know, with SmackDown 1000, I couldn't help having a SmackDown original on the Triple Threat. Jimmy Corderas, how's it going?
Great. You know what? I need to hire you as my PR guy.
Well, Jimmy, I couldn't help it. I mean, all this hype from SmackDown. I saw you posting up on social media, and sorry to push you off here, Larry, but I got to go with Jimmy first on this one. It's SmackDown 1000. Naturally must have a soft spot for you because you were there right from the very beginning, reffing on this show. Question, though, when the show happened, when SmackDown was first created, when it was The Rock Show and they did all that hype, was there a worry in the company that, oh no, can we do 4 hours of live TV a week?
You know, overtly, I didn't see it because everybody walked around with such, you know how Vince is. Vince is never going to show any weakness to anybody, especially his talent. And he was so, like, for lack of a better term, he was so positive. This is going to be an opportunity for everybody. This is going to be, those who don't get a chance on Monday night, you'll get a chance on SmackDown and stuff like that. So, I don't know if there was anything internally where they were thinking, oh boy, we're taking a big gamble here. It wasn't anything like, for example, the first WrestleMania,
mm-hmm, right,
where Vince gambled everything. I bet it was a bit of a gamble, but I think they had a good vibe about it, at least going in.
So looking at this show, there are 1,000 episodes in. It was a bit of a show that got lost in the shuffle, not only due to the hype of Evolution, but due to the controversy surrounding Crown Jewel. There wasn't as much hype as I think it would have got if those two events weren't coming up. But Larry, overall, we had 2 hours of it, pretty compact here. What were your overall sentiment of the show?
You know, I didn't think it was like a great show. I know a lot of people get excited for kind of like the nostalgia-based shows. And there's nothing wrong with that. I didn't think it was a great show, but I overall thought it was a good and fun show. I mean, you know, you have the goofiness with R-Truth and Carmella, who I really love. They've been like such a surprise being thrown together. They're a ton of fun. You got Vince out there, and you know, Vince does a little dance. You know, a little tease of Shane and stuff possibly for Survivor Series, you know, building up matches. And you know, there was some good wrestling on the show and everything. You had the Evolution reunion. I found it generally a
just an easy show to watch. And like you said, it did get lost in the shuffle. It didn't feel as important as it could have or possibly really should have been. But, you know, it was, you know, it was 2 hours. I got some good wrestling. I had some good times. I was amused. You know, it didn't feel long, and I didn't feel like I hated myself after watching it.
And that can happen sometime with wrestling, as I'm sure we all do, and you watch so much of it. It's funny, though, because so there's two different statements there in regards to what Jimmy said about Vince behind the scenes and puffing up his chest. And then, Larry, you know, you mentioned Vince coming out and Vince doing the dance, and that's really his whole purpose. Jimmy, going over to you for this one, you know, in seeing Vince McMahon behind the scenes, and we still know he is the puppet master, his on-camera character now is jovial grandpa. And that's really what I've seen of him the last few times he's come out. Do you think that that's a proper direction for the Vince on-camera character, or is there more worth to still seeing him being as, like, the mean old man, the dictator?
I think that maybe 5 years ago, being the mean old dictator would work. But nowadays, you know, like Larry said, there were some jovial moments in that R-Truth segment with Carmella. They're having a lot of fun. Vince likes to have fun, especially on the show. And now he's getting to do something outside the Mr. McMahon character. And I think he's genuinely having fun doing it. And maybe this is a way for him to transition out of that, the mean old guy who runs the company into, you know, passing the torch down to whoever it may be. It looks like Triple H. So maybe this is a way of getting to that point where he just becomes that jovial old guy that can't be serious and run the company anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's the storyline direction they're taking. You know, it is in Vince's nature to have fun like that.
Well, he definitely had that very short stint there. And you mentioned passing the torch over to Triple H, and that's something that we actually heard mentioned on the show on Tuesday night. And it was the segment that I thought by far stole the show. You know, WWE really floundered with Dave Bautista, who got caught up in the Daniel Bryan mix last time. I talked about this earlier on the show, how I never understood why they couldn't make him a success. Well, my goodness, was that redone in this return. This was a wonderful tease between him and Triple H. But is this an exciting match if it does come about? Larry?
Real quick on the Vince thing before I do that. The other thing, too, with Vince is, and I largely agree with Jimmy, the thing is, though, is he's also to that point that, like, you know, Ric Flair, deep in his career, was almost impossible to make him a heel. And no matter how much people want to complain and moan about the product, there's this love for Vince now. If you didn't see the show, the man comes out, they're singing his theme song, the crowd is bowing to him.
Right.
Like he's a freaking god.
Right.
And it's just kind of to the point that I don't think anybody wants to see evil old man Vince. I think people are just like, you know what? We're kind of pissy with the product sometimes, but we appreciate what you did. We love you, Vince. And they want to do that. On the Dave Bautista, yeah, the Evolution segment was just a ton of fun, really well done. You had a little bit of stuff from Randy Orton in there, good promo stuff from Dave. And as for the match, I don't know if it's exciting to, let's say, someone like me who is, you know, my big thing now is give me a good story with some excellent wrestling and I'm going to be really, really happy. I think Dave and Triple H can tell a good story. They have enough background to do it. I don't know if it's going to be a good match. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave still looks great. I know that he'll work hard, but I mean, I worry. We talked about this with the Triple H Undertaker match last time Jimmy and I were on. I worry about it getting into that Triple H vanity match territory to where he feels he has to tell this like giant 30-minute story with him. And you don't, because you guys are old. And there's nothing wrong. No. Hang on. I don't mean this rudely. There is nothing wrong with being old. Real quick, New Japan Pro Wrestling, all the third generation guys like Tenzon Kojima and them, Nagata, they're the old gunslingers. They barely are ever featured in important matches. They work with the younger guys. But every once in a while, when they get a feature match, they come out there like the old gunslinger. They throw everything they have. They fight like an old man. They fight a little dirty. They play the hits. There's a style to old man wrestling that is great.
Well, listen, and, you know, we saw Goldberg, who was about 50 or 49 when he was in the ring, used very well, despite his age and using his aura from the past. And we're talking about Dave Bautista, who currently sits at 49 years old, looks incredible, but will be 50 doing this. And there is, if done properly, knowing limitations, I could see it working. But I understand your fear of this Triple H vanity thing, and we're probably going to see it again at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. It's just, like you said, knowing your limitations, working to your strengths. The Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match at Mania was great for what it was. A short, explosive match with Goldberg throwing everything he had left at the monster before he finally loses, and Brock overcomes. And nobody thinks less of Goldberg for it, because Goldberg was still enough of Goldberg that it was exciting and fun. And, you know, if Dave Bautista can come back and channel enough of the old Bautista, and if Triple H can kind of just drop this, I want to be Ric Flair doing 30-minute epics of his age with bad knees thing, don't, just stop it. He should be smart enough. And I say this a lot. I love him as a business guy and what he does with NXT, but every once in a while, he forgets where his brain is when he gets in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they can have a good match, and I think it can be enjoyable, and I think there can be a hell of a story with it. But, like, you have to work to strengths and work with what limitations you have. And, unfortunately, they are older now. They're not what they used to be. I mean, look at Triple H when he comes out. I mean, the dude has his knees wrapped, like, heavier than Naito half the time. And that's because he's been through a lot. That's not a knock on the guy. But it's just you have to stay in your lane, for lack of a better term.
Jimmy, I want to talk about Bautista with you. I mean, here's a guy that, years ago, as I mentioned, I didn't understand why they couldn't got him over, but that had to do a lot with Daniel Bryan and what the crowd wanted at the time. You've worked with Dave Bautista, and he's just gone on to so much success. Guardians of the Galaxy, the James Bond movies, Blade Runner, he's doing really well in Hollywood right now. What is his drive to return to wrestling? I mean, I know you probably haven't seen him in a few years, but from knowing him a bit and working with him, can you pick up on anything?
I did see him we chatted about this, actually, believe it or not.
Oh.
And yeah. This was just maybe 2 years ago, before the second Guardian movie was released.
Right.
Happened to run into him, and we had, believe it or not, dinner. I'm not name dropping him. I am, actually, but you know, people misunderstand Dave in a sense that they don't think that he had a drive for professional wrestling because he wasn't one of those guys that grew up a huge fan and stuff like that. But he did. He loved the business once, you know, and he was one of those guys that loved to learn and sat in the locker room and learned from everybody and picked up and stuff. And when I was chatting with him, I said, "Are you done?" He said he'd like to have one more run. And I said, "Who you want to end your career?" He said, "Hunter."
Yeah.
Said, that's the guy he wants to have his last go-out match with before he actually hangs him up. And you know, he was very adamant about that's the guy he wants to go out against, because he's already had that, you know, his run with The Undertaker. He's had his run with Edge and other guys like that. And he said, Hunter's the guy. So, like Larry said, I know he'll be definitely motivated. He'll be ready for it. But again, this match will appeal to the audience of the dad who brings his kids to the event, not to the hardcore diehard fans. And you know, let's be honest, that's who WWE is hoping to attract more of.
Well, they can do it with dads bringing their kids. And nostalgia is definitely working. I mean, not only with Batista, we saw the return of Rey Mysterio. There's been a lot of Undertaker lately. All of those things in general, aside from maybe what they're doing with Undertaker now, but all of those things are working or have potential to work. But someone from that era is not working. And that is, and it hurts me to say this, because she is someone that I did a radio show with for a few years, you know, in the late 90s, before she went to WWE, and has always been a friend working in radio. But Trish Stratus is not connecting with the fans. It's 2 weeks now. It's been pin drops when she has come out, and it was terrible scripting on Monday night. But Larry, I'll go to you here first. Why do you think that the other nostalgia acts are working just fine, but Trish, and to a degree Lita as well, is not clicking?
Well, I think in all honesty, and I'm not trying to be insulting, when you're talking about nostalgic figures and you're talking about The Undertaker or Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, there's no comparison to, you know, for them and Lita and Trish. I mean, Lita and Trish in their era did a lot of good things. They're linked together. I'm very glad that they changed it from two singles matches to a tag match. I think that's going to be for the better. But, I mean, they weren't exactly the superstars the same level. I mean, I'm sorry. There are very few superstars that are the level of The Undertaker that had the longevity and everything. And, you know, who else can you compare to Shawn in WWE history as far as being called Mr. WrestleMania and everything, and, you know, the greatest and the showstopper and all that? Trish and Lita, I like Trish and Lita. I'm glad they're coming back for it. I think they deserve to come back and get a shot at it. I like the mix of old and new names for the pay-per-view like they did with the Royal Rumble. I think it makes sense. But I just think that there's, in terms of star power and the fact of the audience you're looking at, there's just a big disconnect that there just aren't a lot of people this day and age that know Trish and Lita like they know someone like Shawn or Undertaker. Like, my daughter's a good example. My daughter's 16. She pops in. She watches stuff whenever she wants, and she really likes women's wrestling. She likes little flippy guys, too, because I used to take her to Chikara and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came in during Monday, and she actually came in during that, as you said, horribly scripted segment. That was really, it's one of those segments that's just so bad. We're going to come out and say something, and you just stand there like idiots for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was bad news.
And she goes, she's like, oh, Alexa and Mickey. And she knows who Mickey James is.
Right. Well, she's staying in the product, yeah.
And then she's like, who are those two? I'm like, well, that's Trish and Lita. She goes, who are Trish and Lita? I said, well, I said, you know, several years ago, I said they were two of the really big women stars as before, you know, they started changing up with the women's division. She goes, are they any good? I'm like, well, you know, I tried to explain it to her, but she was just like, you know, she didn't have a clue. And she even watched the Rumble and stuff. She didn't remember their appearance. And the funny thing was later on, she goes, isn't that the one girl that almost killed herself doing the moonsault?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jimmy, maybe I'm biased, being Canadian. You're up here. You're in Toronto as well. I also remember Trish Stratus as being a good baby face, and then she turned heel, and her capability on the mic was 10 times greater and as a heel, and it shocked me because I just know her as a very nice person. There seems to be a complete disconnect with not only the fans, but with the writing staff as well. It just seems like no one knows how to write for her right now in this role.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's you know, sometimes you're given material and you're told to make it your own, obviously. You know what I mean? Sometimes you go word for word, whatever is written for you. But at the same time, some people are very good. Like I'll use The Miz, for example. The Miz is very good at making anything he's given sound like The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's him. It's coming out of his brain. It's coming out of his mouth. It sounds Miz. The stuff on Monday night with Lita and Trish just sounded like they were reciting what was given to them, and it didn't sound natural. You know, by contrast, you look at Ronda Rousey's segment with the Bella Twins. You know, the Bellas came off sounding like Mean Girls. 2018 Mean Girls.
Yeah.
But Ronda, I thought, responded very well and you know, came off like the female badass that she was in UFC, you know? So it's all in the delivery. And I don't think that they felt maybe, I don't want to put thoughts in their heads or speak for them, but they didn't seem comfortable with what they were given.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, let's skip over, and we'll end with exactly where you segued to there, Jimmy, and that is Ronda Rousey and the Bellas.
I've already said this. I thought this was tremendous. I thought that this was exactly what the crowd wanted, and that's what writers should do. Now, of course, there is the other side of things and this swell on social media in regards to, oh, it's slut-shaming. Oh, and doing that with the Bellas. Personally, though, I was all for this promo, and I think it's exactly, you know, what this feud needed. Larry, what did you think of this? Because you kind of gave both sides in your report that I read today.
I love it. As you said, it was one of those segments. It was exactly what it needed to be. And keep it simple, stupid, okay? Here's the thing. For some reason, all of a sudden, there's this groundswell of, we have to defend the Divas Era women. You know, and there's former writers coming on. Oh, well, it's not fair to them. Here's the thing. Nikki Bella, lover or hater, here's the fact. She's an executive producer on two reality shows that used her relationship with John Cena in an attempt to get ratings, which didn't work out. Okay, and that's how a lot of people see her. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but when you look at this feud, there is a certain level of disdain for that era, for the Bella twins, for the ugly butterfly belt. People don't like it. They accept Brie when she's with Daniel Bryan, but they generally don't like the sisters. Okay, they look at Ronda Rousey. They see a badass, legitimate athlete that doesn't take crap from anybody, that goes in there and rips off other women's arms and looks really cool doing it. Okay, so she's over there saying, why did you turn on me? I thought we were going to be friends and make this thing great. And then, as you said, the Bellas were mean girls. And they start talking crap, and then Ronda gave it back to her. And she hit every button. Here's the other thing I love, too. The same people complaining and defending the Bellas are the same people that said everything Ronda Rousey said. Oh, Nikki's only there because of a relationship with John Cena and, so on and so forth. And it's the thing is, like, wait a minute. It's okay for you to go on a comment section or on Twitter and say all this stuff, but Ronda Rousey says it, and all of a sudden it's evil. And at the end of the day, it's characters. They weren't out there having a real cat fight, airing quote-unquote dirty laundry. Are you thinking Nikki didn't approve all of that when they set it up backstage? I mean, come on.
Doing business.
Yeah, exactly. Doing business. And I'll tell you what, I had no desire to see that match. I didn't want that match main eventing at Evolution. I think there are better alternatives to it. But you do that segment Monday, I'm interested, and the crowd actually, here's the thing, the crowd cared.
Yeah.
The crowd reacted. That gives me faith that when they do the match, and hopefully they get enough rehearsal time, that the crowd will be into that match now.
Final word, so, Jimmy, going forward. Sorry, we're cutting short on time here. But, Jimmy, the match that is going to happen, who do you see coming out of it, Nikki or Ronda?
I think it's got to be Ronda. I mean, you're building towards WrestleMania. It's getting closer, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I know it's several months away, but still, the big build begins now for WrestleMania, even though, Survivor Series is still ahead and you still got to get through the Royal Rumble. But really, the seed's got to be planted now. And Ronda Rousey is going to be a featured person at WrestleMania. I mean, people have been talking for years. Is it possible that the women could main event at WrestleMania if it would ever happen?
This is it.
She's the one.
This is it. I'm betting on that. I would put some money down on that. That's your match. That's your main event at WrestleMania. Gentlemen, we got to end it there, but thank you very much both for your time. Jimmy, where can people find you?
On social media, at Jimmy Corderas. I love to have fun on Twitter, and Tuesday nights on Sportsnet 360 on Aftermath with Caroline the Nugster and the former Santino Marella, Anthony Corelli.
That is correct. And Larry, where can people read all your good stuff? You had a great line this week about WWE continuing the build of WWE sweet Saudi money, blood money. I love it.
Yes, sweet Saudi money to blood money. That's right. At Larry Zonka, 411 on the Twitter machine, and 411mania.com for all of my reviews and columns, which there have been a lot of lately and will be more going forward.
Love it. Thanks, gentlemen. We are tight on time. Got to get to a break. That segment went pretty long, but lots to talk about this week. We're continuing on more Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio. Oh, yes, it's late tonight, and the Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.